This interview is being conducted with Captain Harvey J. Morgan by Gunnery Sergeant Floyd N. Jordan at Marine Corps Schools, Quantico, Virginia, on 12 January 1966. The subject of this interview is occupation of Hill 327 and patrolling, and is unclassified. Would you state your name, grade, and service number, please, sir?
Captain Harvey J. Morgan, 070992.
What were your duty assignments while you were in Vietnam, sir?
I was rifle company commander of I Company, 3rd Battalion, 9th Marine.
What period did you serve in these billets? And where were you physically located within Vietnam during the period covered, sir?
I served in this capacity from 8 March until 16 June, and we were physically located in the Da Nang area of South Vietnam.
Your unit came in and landed south of Da Nang or near Da Nang to occupy Hill 327. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct. The initial landing was made on the 8th of March. The entire battalion proceeded to the Da Nang airfield that day, stayed on the airfield that night, and on the 9th of March, the next day, I Company was ordered to accompany the engineers to the base of Hill 327 so that the engineers could commence work on the road that led to the top of Hill 327 so that the Hawks could be hauled to the top and then placed atop Hill 327.
Would you discuss the movement of the Hawks missiles to the top of Hill 327 and the part that your company played in this movement, sir?
Yes. On the 10th of March, the company was ordered to proceed to the top of Hill 327, and at the same time, the remainder of the battalion left the airfield and moved to the base of Hill 327, and another company occupied the hill mass known as 268, while my company occupied 327. The engineers at this time proceeded with their work to the top and were able to push through the already existing road by 11 March, and the work continued for a period of approximately 10 days before the Hawk missiles could be brought to the top of the hill. My company relieved two Arvon Ranger platoons who occupied the hill at the time, that is to say, around 10 March.
When your company left Hill 327, it was involved or it did execute patrol actions in the area west of Da Nang. Would you relate the purpose of the patrol and its results from your company's viewpoint, sir?
Yes, 39 was relieved from the 327 Hill complex on approximately the 8th of April by 1st Battalion, 3rd Marines. At that time, the battalion moved back down to the Da Nang airfield itself and assumed the responsibility for the defense of the airfield. At this time, the defense required three companies to be on the perimeter, and this left one company to patrol in the Da Nang TAOR. My company participated in one such five-day patrol in an area approximately 15 kilometers to the west of Da Nang. The purposes of these patrols was an attempt to make contact with the Viet Cong, or at least to keep them off balance and keep them out of our TAOR. This was one of the means that the brigade and force commanders used in maintaining control of their TAORs.
Would you discuss briefly the action of your patrol during this 5 days, sir? Was there any contact made by your patrol, or what was the status of the civilian population, or did you even see any of them, sir?
The patrol took place in the area, roughly a valley between the hills 393 and the extremely high hills that commenced the beginning of the mountain range between Vietnam and Laos. We had no contact with the Viet Cong as such. However, the point other column ran across two booby-trapped hand grenades, one of which was discovered prior to being detonated, the other which was not discovered and caused three minor casualties. One point of interest here is that we determined that the Viet Cong obviously had some sort of code system worked out whereby they would either bend a twig across the path or put a small mound of dirt on the path itself, approximately 10 paces on either side of this booby-trapped hand grenade, obviously to warn other Viet Cong and perhaps the civilian populace. We, of course, determined this after the second one had gone off. This is an assumption on my part, but at any rate, the fact was reported to our battalion S2, and I think the information disseminated to the remainder of the Marine Expeditionary Force. The civilian populace were not necessarily unfriendly, but they were sort of non-committal. They would, however, after we made the initial move to be friendly, reciprocate by being friendly towards us. The majority of the contact that we had with the local populace was in the area of assisting them medically. We had a doctor along with us, and he and the corpsman would go with us into the various villages, and they would give medical treatment within their capabilities to whomsoever came to request it. We found that the great majority of the villagers would turn out for this particular assistance.
There was a significant civic action undertaken by your company. Would you comment on this and its impact on your company's relations with the civilian populace there?
In one particular village that we patrolled through, there was an elderly lady who died while the company was occupying and searching that particular village. When the daughter of the lady was asked if any assistance could be rendered by we, the Marines, she said yes, that she would like some assistance in getting wood to bury her, or to build a casket to bury her mother in, and also to get some sort of white cloth to wrap her mother in. I radioed back to battalion and requested that lumber be sent out for this purpose, and also requested that two sheets be sent along for this white cloth that the daughter wanted. This was forthcoming shortly from battalion. We assisted the local people in the construction of this casket, also were there to assist in the actual burial, and shortly thereafter left that particular village. Of course, that particular village turned out in mass to express their thanks, and it was obvious to me and to all the other Americans around that they were very thankful, and it appeared that the minor action in the civic action field had gained quite a few friends for the U.S. government. And it was also noticeable the following day, because every village that we would go through, all the villagers would turn out to also express their thanks for the kindness that we had shown to the villagers by assisting them in burying the elderly lady. So the very minor civic action deed had a very quick completion time, and it had very obvious effects as far as I was concerned.
Captain Morgan, you've covered the occupation of Hill 327 and a specific patrol action undertaken by your unit. And this has shown us, and especially in the civic action section, that quick and proper civic action probably carries more weight than a lot of paper would have, which would not show instantaneous results. Would you make any recommendation to a successor or to someone who was going over in a capacity similar to yours about civic actions, or what he could do to foster better relations between his unit and the civilian populace, sir?
Yes, I think that civic action is a very obvious requirement, and further, that the more civic action there is, the better the relationship is going to be between the local populace, who is basically the target in this type of war, and the American soldiers, or Marines for that matter. There are several established civic action functions that are directed by higher headquarters. However, everybody, the individual private or company commander, platoon commander, whoever it happens to be, can do his share towards completing a successful civic action program simply by being alert for any area or anything that he or his men might be able to do on the spot that would have instant completion time or very short completion time, but yet would have noticeable results that the local populace can see. There are hundreds of things that can be done. All it takes is imagination on the part of the individual American, as far as I can see.
You expressed in our preliminary discussion the delay in tripping or throwing of flares and detonation was a handicap. Would you comment, sir?
Yes, I consider this to be a handicap, especially in a jungle warfare type situation, where if you have a minor delay, for example, on a hand-thrown illumination device, you have the initial pop of the detonator and then perhaps a 2 or 3 second delay before the actual illumination is forthcoming. This gives the Viet Cong or any enemy time to disperse into the undergrowth, gives him a chance to hide himself. Now, in a defensive situation, or in ambushes for that matter, it is my opinion that this country needs some sort of illuminating device other than a battery-powered flashlight or searchlight, something of this nature. They need something that the individual can carry and he can throw, and the moment that it leaves his hand and travels a certain distance, it should have an instant illumination capability. Now, this, to me, it should have the capability of illuminating the moment that you hear the initial pop of the spoon flying off. To me, this would greatly facilitate combat at night in a jungle-type terrain.
Thank you very much, sir.